Welcome. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis. And on today's program, I am going to be focusing on something that is really very, very critical, but not in a serious way. It's critical in that we can create for ourselves a ground within which to truly blossom who we are. And that ground of being is rooted in joyfulness. Yeah, joy. Joy is the thing. Joy is the connection, the feeling of being connected to your own source power, being connected to the Most High, being connected to that which you truly are. And there are certain things that we can do to open up that space for joy to occur in our lives. And one of them, of course, is to be kind. Be kind to yourself. Be kind in all things, in all ways, and under every single circumstance. Because truly, it is only our own behavior, our own thinking patterns, our own programming that puts us in a position where we are disenfranchised from that flow of energy, of joy that is very, very natural to us as human beings. This is the energy, this is the space, this is the way of being from the very beginning, from the source, from our first birth into this reality. We came into this reality with an excitement for experience, with a sense of wonder and curiosity. That describes us, of course, as infants, but it also describes all of humanity. We came into this reality with the idea that we were going to expand ourselves, we were going to learn, we were going to create, and we were going to bask in that process with a sense of joy and purpose. And whatever we might consider to be our work on this plane of existence, whatever we might consider to be our calling within this plane of existence, a lot of that has to do with the space-time in which we have found ourselves, in which we have been born. It has to do with the state and condition of this reality, of this world, of this existence. We may have come here at this time and may have come many times in order to bring forth, create something, correct something that is within this reality. But very often we get lost from that calling. We get lost from that purpose because we find ourselves sinking into the muck and mire of this reality. This is a reality that has become a place of great challenge and has become a place of extreme conflict and controversy and suffering. And this is real. This is something that we experience and that we witness. What I'm speaking of in terms of joy is not to dismiss what's happening in the world, but to rather tap into the fountain that flows within. In the beginning of the conquering of these lands that we call America, we had explorers coming into this field, this ground, this continent, looking for salvation, looking for the fountain of youth, looking for wealth and gold, and looking for all these things on the material realm. And the truth is that the Aboriginal people of these lands did have a real wealth, but that wealth was founded inside their being. Of course, this is essentially true of our entire human system. The first humans created on this planet existed within a connection, a direct connection to that fountain of joy. And I'm clear at this point that this is the first endeavor that we can do in our current life, in our current existence, is to plug back in to that fountain of joy. And it's important to realize that joy is not the same thing as happiness. Joy is something that occurs within and of itself. It has no cause. It has no cause, certainly within this world. It's something that flows through us and can flow out into the world. It can flow into our body experience. It can flow into our relationships. And it can flow through the workings of our mission, of our calling, whatever it is that we are here to engage in, to engage with. Our joy is something that's born in the realm of invisibility, in the realm of pre-existence, in the realm of the divine world, in the realm of the prime creator, the source creator. It is an expression of love. It is an expression of being, and it is the way of being. So one might ask, what is this joy, and how do we attain it? Well, we don't, actually. We reveal it. And that is really the way to think of it. It's in terms of revealing it, in terms of uncovering, excavating, to find that fountain that flows from the core of your natural being, from the core of your spiritual being, and from the core of your quantum being. So it is the actual flow of that life force which we experience and call joy. So with this in mind, I want to begin to explore how we go about creating this excavation. How do we go about uncovering this natural aspect, this natural facet, this diamond, this sun of joyfulness that exists in every single one of us? We are the ones who are empowered to make this difference, to be able to open up this window and let this joyfulness shine through. I have been very blessed, I would say, to have been able to find my way to this fountain of joyfulness accidentally, really as a consequence of my own self-searching, of my own journeying within the world, within the different experiences, being in different kinds of relationships, and have come ultimately to realize that there is no true satisfaction that can be found in the world. We have experience, yes, indeed. We grow, we learn, we love, we get angry, we have all of our emotions. But really, everything that is gained through those experiences in the world are really being absorbed into the inner realm, being absorbed into the expanded realms, and that learning, that experience is processed into the cultivation of our soul, of our fullness of being. And the way that we as beings or entities in the world is nourished by the soul is through this joyfulness. This experiential love is how I would describe it. It is an act of love in the present and in the action of being alive. It's what being alive is for. It's the purpose of it. So, what prevents us from finding joy? This is where we can really begin to uncover and unravel the barbed wire, the moat of the pitfalls that keep us from finding our joy. As we get started, one of the things that is very important for us to realize that the existence that we find ourselves in at this time is one of utter chaos. The world is currently in a state of chaos. There is a great deal of anger and violence, conflict, and confusion. And we each are mired in this conflict and confusion. And in fact, we have been raised in such a way that we have absorbed this conflict and confusion. We have become sensitized to it so that very often we live in a world of reactivity. And it can be thought of as like the age of war, the nuclear reactor, the age of conflict, the division into polarities, the age of self-deprecation in which we have to apply ourselves to standards from the outside in order to reach a state of acceptance, in order to reach a state of success even. So as we begin to look towards creating our own sense of inner joy, we have to do two things. One is to be grounded in reality from the perspective of the world in which we live. I am not suggesting that we pretend that there are not difficulties in the world. I am not suggesting that we look out at people who are suffering and somehow pretend that this is not happening. It's important that we not place blame on people who are suffering as if they somehow did something to deserve that suffering or somehow destined towards that suffering. This is not the case. We are living in a time period in which things have escalated to a maximum level and have been subjected to chaos for generations. So I am not speaking as if the conflict we're looking at right now is all that we have been subjected to. If you look at the known history of our recorded world, if you look at the conflicts of colonization and genocide of Aboriginal peoples, if you look at the conflict of world wars and subjugation of peoples, if you look at the conflict of religions and wars over philosophy and belief systems, all of this is a huge bundle of what we are faced with in our current physical existence. So the idea is not to pretend that this is not the case. The object is to recognize what is missing, what is underlying this cause of conflict, and what is underlying this sense of needing to be on top, needing to be right, needing to be listened to, needing to be heard, needing to be in control. It's a very tangled knot. It's not even a web. It's like a ball of thread that has been knotted and tangled and increasingly so for many generations. So the objective here is not to go through that. It's impossible. Once we engage in that terrible, massive conflict of the world, it will absorb us into it. That is what happens in this matrix. We get absorbed into the nonsense, into the mess, into the low vibrational energies. So we see the problem. We understand that there is a problem. We see the suffering. We understand that there is suffering. So the objective is to, while not pretending that this energy of suffering doesn't exist, but to recognize it does. And in that recognition, allowing ourselves to create some distance, to create an expanse of self-created reality that gives us an alternative way of living in our world. And when I speak of joyfulness, I'm speaking of that not so much ignoring what's happening around, but purposely and purposefully turning away from it and taking our sight and bringing it to the within so that we can assure ourselves that we are connecting to that which will sustain, that which will ground us, that which will nourish us. And it's important to understand that we are not succeeding or triumphing by entering into and through the chaos. It may look so, but once we've entered into that chaos, we are becoming that chaos. We are supplanting the source within with the conflict that we see all around us. So this becomes a very personal and a very intimate journey. And as we embark upon this journey, one of the things that we want to keep as a signpost. So when you're traveling down the road and you're traveling in dangerous territory, sometimes you'll notice there'll be a side of the cliff where there's a big drop-off point. And along the road, there will be a rail that will provide a guide for you. So you could crash through the rail and still fall down the cliff. But if you're mindful that there is a guide along the side of the road, then you can keep yourself steady on the road and not veer off into the abyss. And one of those key signposts is compassion. Compassion is the mechanism that allows you to sustain your humanity. It allows you to look upon suffering with a sense of care and concern and love, forgiveness. All of these things are woven into compassion. The key here is to also hold compassion for yourself, to ensure that you look upon yourself with a great deal of care and a great deal of love, and create a space that is broad enough to have room for yourself to move within, to wiggle within, to make mistakes, to have successes, to be in a space of just not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do, not having the answers, and not being held with your feet to the fire as if you should have all the answers. This is what compassion gives. It gives to yourself and allows you to give to another. So compassion is really the primary guide along the path. So whatever you're experiencing, whatever the engagement may be, if you are looking at another person, be it a homeless man on the street or woman, be it someone high up in a corporation in Wall Street, be it or some company that is polluting the earth, whomever or whatever the engagement, we need to have as that guideline a sense of compassion, enough openness to wonder what might have contributed to that person being in that place, either of suffering or of disconnection from their own humanity. We need that there so as not to be disconnected in such a way as that person that we may be looking upon. Compassion. And the balance of compassion on the other side of the road is a sense of non-judgment. So it's kind of a positive and a negative. So when we hold as a primary tenet of our existence not to judge another, and not to judge yourself, so that if someone is doing something that you disagree with, well, certainly you can take action, you can speak up, you can bring forth a protest, you can run for a political office, you can engage with other people. There's many things we can do about things that need to change, but the idea is not to judge that thing or that person as evil or bad and look at it as a behavior, an experience, an energy, an entity that is conducting itself in a certain way that is not how certainly you would choose to conduct yourself. But we want to stay away from making judgments, because a judgment is a narrowing of our perspective and does not give room for us to explore the full meaning of that experience or the full meaning of that entity or the full meaning of an occurrence that's taking place in the world. Now, mind you, I'm speaking of a pathway into joyfulness. I'm speaking of opening the window, opening the portal that allows the energy of the source vibration to flow through you as naturally as your breath, to be as much a part of you as the DNA, as your cellular structure, as your organs, as your voice, as your mind. To be integral to your being is what joyfulness is meant to be. So we have these two signposts. On one side of us is compassion. So we ask ourselves, when we get into the rocky road and things are going on, that's what we check for. Am I being compassionate? Am I having compassion for myself? Am I having compassion in the situation? Am I having compassion for this person or entity I am dealing with? And the other side that we are looking at is judgment. Am I judging this person? Am I judging myself? Am I thinking bad of myself? Am I thinking wrong of myself? Am I telling myself that I'm wrong, I'm bad, I'm stupid? That is a judgment. Are we doing this to another? So these are the two things that we must keep at our side, on either side of us. These are our shields from the self-infliction of chaos and pain. This is what keeps us in that middle ground that allows us to be whole and complete. And this is what allows us to begin to have enough spaciousness within to explore that inner part of our being that will bring forth this fountain that flows from the deepest isness of ourself, of our being. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium, and I'm Catherine Davis. Today's program, we are going to focus on healing. And for those of you who may not think of healing from the perspective of understanding the makeup of our energy matrix, that's where I'm going with today's program. And to begin with, the healing process is like a vision quest, allowing you to traverse the message of transformation hidden within the challenges of your life. When we begin to regard our healing process, it's important to know where our starting point is, so we can address pain, chronic disease, and depression. And with regard to that, we look at clearing some of the root causes of disease, including childhood, ancestral, and past life issues. And for those of us who are on another level in our experience, we might want to simply jumpstart our life with renewed creativity and self-confidence. And third, and actually this is part of the progression, no matter where we start from, we want to anchor the vibration of our ascended, integrated self into our present experience of now. And for those of you who are not familiar with my background, I'd like to share a little bit of who I am, Catherine Davis. I'm a facilitator of meditation and relaxation techniques, a master teacher of Qigong, an energy healer, mystic, and spiritual doula. I'm certified in Qigong healing techniques and as a Qigong teacher from the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, OCOM. And I've also studied with quite a number of Qigong healers and Qigong masters, both here in the U.S. and in mainland China. I'm a certified Reiki practitioner, and Reiki is considered spiritually guided life force energy, and also the Sandlin technique, a form of indigenous bodywork based on vision quest and shamanic insight. Expanding culturally, I've traveled to Teotihuacan in Mexico to study Aztec Mayan ritual and healing practices. I studied for and received a certification as a curandera, and I work with the obsidian mirror of the Aztec Toltec traditions, and I also spent a good deal of time connecting with the spiritual teachings of the Dagara and Dogon people of Africa. I am a radio host and producer on WBAI in New York, and also the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. Truthfully, healing is really just about restoring your wholeness and the true nature of your being. This means that we must first recognize that we are indeed have the potential for being fully functional in our lives. We have the potential for being fully joyful in our lives. In fact, this is how we are designed to be. And what happens is that our energy construct becomes damaged over time, and that damage to our energy construct has a direct impact on the well-being of our self, of our being, of our body, of our mind, of our spirit. And the healing process is really about going into the wilderness of self and coming to the recognition of all that is within our energetic field that is blocking and undermining or destroying that aspect of our being. And of course, once the energy field has become degraded, our physical body will begin to reflect that. But it's important to understand that by the time the physical body is reflecting dis-ease or a chronic condition, then something has been amiss for a very, very, very long time. And when I say very long time, I'm saying we could be looking at your childhood. We could be looking at your life experience. We could be looking at the social construct within which we live. But it's also important to realize that we hold many of these toxic constructs in the information system of our bodies, which is the DNA. And so, when we are in a healing process, we want to go very, very deep into our beingness, into the entity that we are, so that we can unravel that damaged construct that is embedded in the information of our DNA, the information of our energy fields, the information of our mind, the information of our emotions. And when we speak of the DNA, that's when we start looking deeper into our ancestral history, because we inherit the constructs of our parents and the constructs of our tribe and the construct of our history as a race of people upon the earth. And layered on top of that, I would say, is the conditions of our environment, our most immediate environment, which means the food we're eating, which means the air we're breathing, which means the water we're drinking, which means the emotional milieu, the feel, the energy, positive or negative, of our family life, of our work life, of our political life, and also the state of our earth. The earth itself is extremely degraded because we live in a culture in which the earth is not valued. So the earth is polluted, the air is polluted, the water is polluted, the soil is depleted. The vegetables very often are not grown with full abundance in nutrients because the soils are depleted. The vegetables grow may be polluted by the groundwater, which is polluted, or other chemicals that are put on the vegetables when they grow. And on top of that, we have the problem of genetically modified food, so that we're eating food that is not wholesome and natural, but is in many ways contaminated by science, perhaps in the desire to make it better, but it basically ends up being a contamination. The pesticides are a contamination. And on top of that, we have the ingestions of chemicals, artificial and synthetic chemicals, from the perspective of pharmaceuticals. Our pharmaceutical industry gives us medicines, so-called, based on symptomology rather than something that will impact the underlying cause. And if you watch any kind of commercial advertisement in the media with regard to pharmaceuticals, you will see that they have many, many dangerous side effects. And those side effects have sometimes fatal consequences to our body's natural function. And of course, another factor in our health is simply electronic pollution, microwave pollution. Basically, the side effect of technology advancement. Those are very dangerous because they represent a field of energy that is technological, and it interferes with our field of energy, which is biologically based. But I believe that the primary factor in dis-ease is self-neglect. Yes, self-neglect. Because when we are fortifying our bodies with healthy, natural nutrition, when we are providing ourselves with purified, clean water, when we take ourselves into environments where we can have clean air, and when we take responsibility for our thoughts and our emotions, then we can optimize our natural abilities to stay healthy. And that's really what the healing process is about. It's looking at ourselves honestly and taking into account all those factors that may be at play, and systematically removing those factors from our lives. So this represents our challenge, because we have to look at our state, whatever state we're in at the moment, and really examine all of these factors to see how it's playing out in our bodies. Because we all have a different immune system. Some are stronger than others. And not everyone is going to be impacted by everything. But the idea is to go through a process of examination to look at the condition, the symptoms, if you will, and to be able to identify the cause. So we want to go through the causes that are tangibly physical. Is it the environment? Do we need to create a safe space in our apartment that doesn't have electronics that allows us to sleep well? Do we have food that is overly processed, and can we shift that food into more wholesome foods? Do we ingest a great deal of pharmaceutical medication? And the question would be, are there natural, holistic, herbal, homeopathic, or flower essence remedies that can solve some of these problems to take us off the load of pharmaceuticals? Is our body overwhelmed, and do we need to detoxify? That's generally a good place to start, with having a period of detoxification to allow our bodies to be healed of the backlog of poisons that we have ingested over the years. So the healing process is really starting with the most physical, the gross physical, to see what we can do to pull down the challenges in our physical system so that our body's immune system can come back online and begin to take on the challenges of the world in which we're living. And this is a process that you can find someone to help you in all of these areas to work through that detoxification process, transformation process, where we shift from using poisonous substances to using wholesome substances. So that's a process, and it's a process that we have to give attention to and also have patience with. It takes time to make those shifts and to make them in such a way that they will stand, that they'll hold, that you'll be able to live with it. It doesn't help to go on a 2-week diet or a 3-week diet or a 3-month diet if after that you're going to be so broken down or you'll be emotionally so frayed that you want to go back to the old habits. So there's a way to do this with patience that we can really change our behaviors. The other level of the healing process is to really look into the state of our energetic field. Do we have our chakra system activated? Are they able to communicate effectively between the dimensions of your own being? Are they functioning at a high level? Are you connected to the root? Are you grounded? Is it connected to the solar plexus? Do you have your mobility in shape, your movement, your nature, your power? Is your heart open or closed, or is it banded with stripes of pain and conflict? Is your throat open? Can you communicate? Is your third eye open? Can you see and communicate multidimensionally through that portal? Is the crown open? Can you access the power of the sun, the natural world, the cosmos? And in particular modalities, you could go to yoga. The chakra system is more yoga. Prana is breath in yoga. And the many points on the body, I believe, is nadi. In Qigong or Chinese medicine, you're talking about acupoints. Would you be able to open up these energy blockages by using acupressure or acupoint therapy, or a therapy such as Qigong that allows the energy to flow accessibly through your system? And the direction you go might have to do with what you feel an affinity for. But it's definitely necessary to deal with the energy fluctuations and energy challenges within our body, within our energetic body. And also to connect the energy body to the thinking body and the emotional body. Because when we have disturbing emotions and toxic thoughts, they create blockages in our energy system, which create blockages in our life. So all of these levels are the levels that we look at when we are moving through the self-diagnostic and self-healing process. So why do I say self-diagnostic and self-healing process? This is because, it's simply because, we are the only ones that can heal ourselves. Our state is determined by our choices and by our actions. We can never really be fixed from the outside or by another person. When you go to a health practitioner, when you go to a teacher, when you go to a physician, they can only assist you. They can only really do, in an emergency situation, they can do damage control. They can change things, they can fix things, they can rebalance things. And that is a great help. But the ultimate healing must be done through your own commitment, through your self-awareness, your self-care, and the actions that you choose. And these are actions in terms of what you expose yourself to with regard to food, with regard to emotions, with regard to environment, with regard to thinking processes. So all of this needs to be looked at, and all of this needs to be resolved so that we each can come into our full power and restore our body, restore our multiple bodies to its highest potential. And so far, I'm really speaking about that part of us that exists within this realm that we call the earth plane. So this realm has many dimensions in it in terms of who we are. Our bodies have many dimensions to it with regard to the energy fields that emanate out from the core of who we are, the energy that flows within us. But ultimately, we want to be able to tap into that part of our existence that is beyond this realm. Our spirit, truly, and our energy, the purpose, and the way these systems function is to maintain our existence here, but also to connect us to our existence in a multidimensional way to the spirit of our ancestors, to the spirit of our multiple lives, to the spirit of each other, to the spirit of our oversoul that birthed us into this life, and to the ultimate soul of all creation. And even then is the connection to the prime creator, the source, the first source. And it's not as if we have to reach out into the ethers to connect to this source, to our own oversoul, to the oversoul of the collective, to the oversoul above that of the first created being from the mother, father, one, or however you might think of that creation point of all existence. The real truth is that the connection points are not in the ether beyond our reach, but are embedded within as a fundamental aspect of who and what we are as beings. So it is not that we need to reach out to some distant source energy, but to unblock the pathways that allow us to reach within ourselves, because that's the point of communication, that's the point of creation, that's the point of union, and that's the point of truth. We don't get created wholesale, you know, pooped out onto the earth as a fully embodied being. No, we begin as a minute potential in the egg and the sperm. And at that point is also the potential of our most high, because it is that energetic vibration that moves through the physical potential of the egg and the sperm to grow into the being. So we could think of ourselves as being like the seed that blossoms and grows into a plant, and we blossom and grow into a human. But at the core of us is that first creator seed. It is that which comes to us from the creator soul that guides our lives. And the spirit is that force that connects our physical entity in the world to the soul entity that we truly are as beings. And our purpose is to provide ourselves as a clear vessel, vehicle, expression for the wisdom and movement and expression of our creator soul. And the beauty is that we don't lose ourselves, because we are that. It isn't that we would be a different person. We would be who we are with our current personalities, with our current objectives and joys and loves and creativity, but without the obstacles of all the dynamics that we experience here on the earth. And that is our journey, our healing journey, our hero's journey. But it is something that we must decide that is what we want, and it is the path that we will take. It doesn't have to take a long time. It doesn't have to be difficult. The time and the difficulty are created by the dissonance of all these things that I spoke of. But as we move through, eliminate, challenge, dissolve that dissonance, and come into the realization of our fullness, we will for the first time be able to truly be who we came into the world to be. Again, you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is an opportunity for you to make a connection with this information. You could also make that connection with myself. It is my work and profession to move through all of this transformation. It's an ongoing process for everyone. I work on behalf of my own being, and I work to assist, to teach, to facilitate that process of healing on behalf of all of you. So if you are interested in making that connection, you can reach me in a multitude of ways. My phone line is 347-480-1694. 347-480-1694. You can email me at heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And I have two primary websites. To find out about more healing in a more expansive way and to really dig down into some of the things we've been speaking of, go to www.katharyn.one. That's Catherine.one. If you want to find out more about the meditation and Qigong practices, go to qigongonline.net. QIGONGONLINE.net. I have an ongoing class on Saturdays at Studio Maya in Brooklyn. It's Saturdays at 2:30 p.m., 603 Bergen Street, Brooklyn, New York, 11238. And this is breath meditation and movement relaxation techniques. Class is about an hour and a half. And we learn all of the exercises that can help us with all of these healing processes. Coming up Thursday, July 12th, I'll be offering a free intro class at the New York Open Center on Soaring Crane Qigong, Moving Meditation. And following that is a 5-weekly class series from July 19th to August 16th, all on Thursdays from 6 to 7:30 p.m. For this class, you can go directly to the Open Center website to register for these classes, and the address is www.opencenter.org/soaring-crane-qigong, or you can call the Open Center 212-219-2527 extension 2. And the Open Center is in Manhattan on 30th Street, just off of Madison Avenue. Thank you for joining me today. You've been listening to Heart of Mind Radio. Stay tuned and tune in again next week.
yourself with.